Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says preparations are proceeding at pace for the rollout of a COVID-19 vaccine here. The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says initial results from the mass testing of staff are promising, but warns it is far too early to be complacent about the future. Today on Missing Persons Day, the mother of Cian Langalong, who has been missing since the end of September, believes her son is still alive. And the finance minister is being urged to meet with banks to discuss their obligations to assist mica-affected homeowners in Donegal availing of the redress scheme. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Taoiseach says preparations are proceeding at pace for the rollout of a COVID-19 vaccine here. It's after the UK became the first country to approve the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for widespread use. The first vaccinations will take place in Britain next week, with elderly people being prioritised. But Ireland will have to wait a few weeks longer, as we have to wait approval from the European Medicines Agency. Micheál Martin says preparations are already underway for storing the vaccine.
Yesterday, so delivery was taken of up to 9 ultra-low fridges, trucks into the country. They're stored out in City West. So the work is proceeding at pace.
The number of new clusters of COVID-19 in Ireland decreased by over a half last week. They dropped by almost 60% in private homes. Owen Murphy reports.
These new figures from the Health Protection Surveillance Centre show the number of new clusters or outbreaks of COVID-19 across the country. They are defined as two or more cases in a setting. Last week, there were a total of 348 new clusters, 55% fewer than the 772 the week before. The majority of clusters continue to be in private homes, but there were only 262 last week, over half fewer than the 652 the week before. There were 12 outbreaks linked to schools last week and two in meat processing plants, with 17 people testing positive. There were 10 new outbreaks in hospitals during the week and 6 in nursing homes.
There have been 416 new cases of coronavirus in the north in the last 24 hours. 4 additional COVID-related deaths have been recorded. The death toll in Northern Ireland now stands at 1,015, while there have been 53,272 cases of the virus since the start of the pandemic. The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says initial results from the mass testing of staff are promising, but warns it is far too early to be complacent about the future. The hospital has had one of the highest COVID-19 admittance rates in the country in recent weeks. There are currently 38 patients with COVID-19 being cared for at the hospital, and as of Friday last, there were 68 confirmed cases of the virus amongst staff, with a further 54 staff members off work as they are symptomatic or deemed a close contact. Sean Murphy says recruitment continues to be a problem, and all but the most urgent surgeries are being cancelled. On the issue of surveillance testing, he said the initial results are encouraging, but the process is at a very early stage.
So far, I'm very assured by the numbers that are coming through the testing. But it is too early in the day for me to have any sense of complacency or be very definitive. The staff in surveillance testing are working while they're awaiting results, because it is surveillance testing. It's because that there is no particular cause for concern, any more concern amongst these staff than there is amongst you or I or anybody else. Staff that have been identified as close contacts or are symptomatic are already out of the workforce. I would continually tell our staff, if they have symptoms, not to report for work.
Agreement on a trade deal between the EU and UK needs to be reached within very few days. That's the view of the chairman of the European Parliament Foreign Affairs Committee. David McAllister says on key areas of a Brexit deal has entered the final phase, particularly around the level playing field and state aid. The EU's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, briefed MEPs on the latest in Brexit talks earlier today. Issues surrounding governance and fisheries are also outstanding. Well, a Donegal businessman has told the Oireachtas Enterprise Committee that there is still a risk of checkpoints being established on the border as a result of the UK's Internal Markets Bill. Pharmacist Tom Murray, a member of Border Communities Against Brexit, told the committee this morning that there is still a disconnect at a local level on the issue of Brexit, with urgent clarity needed on a number of issues. One of the big concerns, he said, is the fact that when different regulations are in place on either side of the border in relation to items such as food, serious issues could emerge.
There is also the elephant in the room of the threat of the Internal Markets Bill, and that the goods produced in Britain must be made available on the market in the north of Ireland. This obviously potentially could include chlorinated chicken and GM foods, depending on what other international deals the British government does. There is the risk of that being seen to leak into the EU single trade market area passing through the border. We need clarity as to whether that will be protected. Will we have to see some form of customs border established on the island of Ireland, which would be against the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement, or what protections will be in place to continue that? If we can't guarantee the safety of the market of the north of Ireland and the southern Ireland, then we could see Ireland as a whole annexed in some way as from the European single market, and we need to see that addressed as well. There's also a serious lack of understanding of the North of Ireland Protocol, as it already agreed, and the British action in respect to breach the trust of this international agreement has led to further disengagement and caused further difficulties. In terms of the community, I think the level of integration across the border of families, communities, sports teams, schools and community groups had been largely misunderstood and underestimated until Brexit. There's wide expectation within those groups that there'll continue to be free movement of people and that will continue seamlessly. However, there is potential for the British government to renege on some of those agreements around free movement as enshrined in the Good Friday Agreement, and their recent actions on the North of Ireland Protocol has seriously undermined trust within community groups. There is also fear due to lack of knowledge about cross-border funding and peace funding for border area community initiatives, and the lack of clarity and constant moving of goalposts has worsened that situation.
A number of Donegal TDs have been backing a solidarity people before profit motion in the Dáil to have student nurses on placement paid for the work they are doing. In March, student nurses were drafted onto the front line with promises from then Health Minister Simon Harris that they would be paid. However, that money never materialised, with opposition TDs saying it's long past time that the situation was rectified. Deputy Thomas Pringle says the government's all in this together mantra has been found to have a hollow ring to it as the business lobbyists started pushing for the economy to be reopened despite ongoing health risks to the public and frontline workers. Deputy Pearce Doherty says it is wrong to ask nurses to play a full role in the fight against COVID-19 in Letterkenny University Hospital and elsewhere without giving them a cent in return.
These student nurses are working on the front line. Chaotic 12-hour shifts are the norm. They work alongside our excellent nursing staff, yet our student nurses, there's absolutely no remuneration for their work, and I don't think any patient in the hospital, whether you're in LUH or whether you're in Dublin or Cork, would actually believe that that is appropriate.
Do you believe what's necessary is a specific payment which recognises the work being done for COVID, or something longer term that will see student nurses paid for the work they do on the wards into the future?
Student nurses in fourth year would have had a payment for the 36 weeks placement. Now, the payment is way below the minimum wage, and that needs to be addressed. There's a further issue here where other student nurses, not just fourth year, were actually called to the front line and received no payment. And that is the issue. So as a starting point, as we ask people to come forward, and we've had so much platitudes, we've had so many round of applauses in the Dáil, but the reality is, talk to the student nurses. They don't want their Taoiseach standing up in the Dáil applauding them. They want to make sure that they can put food on the table, they can pay their rent, they can pay their bills, they can pay to travel to and from work, and they want to be valued for the work that they do. That is right and fair, and that's why Sinn Féin are behind this campaign 100%.
Today on Missing Persons Day, the mother of Cian Langalong, who has been missing since the end of September, believes her son is still alive. The last confirmed sighting of Cian was in the Hornhead area, and Gardaí are continuing to appeal to people to keep an eye out for him. On today's 9 till noon show, Cian's mother, Anthea, said she believes he is no longer in the Hornhead Fulcara area and has travelled elsewhere in the country. She says she will never give up hope of finding her son.
I'm ever hopeful. I can't give up hope. I may not be able to stay in Ireland, but wherever I am, I will not give up trying to find him, making appeals and spreading the word. This year alone, 52 people, including 18 children, who were reported missing in Ireland, have still not been found. So it's so important to continue spreading awareness. It's not just me, it's all those families. It's Cian's birthday on Saturday. And he will be 28.
And I would love if everybody listening here could light a candle for him to hopefully bring him home.
Sinn Féin TD Brian Stanley has apologised to the Public Accounts Committee for his tweet about attacks that killed 35 British soldiers. Deputy Stanley says it fell below the standards he expects of himself. Fine Gael's Colin Burke said he accepts the apology but called on Stanley to make a statement to the Dáil. In the last hour, Deputy Stanley apologised in his role as chairman of the Public Accounts Committee.
On Sunday, I apologised for any offence that I caused due to the insensitive nature of the tweet, and I want to repeat that apology to you here today. I also want to apologise to all my colleagues for the position that I put you all in. My tweet fell below the standards, not just the standard that we expect of each other, but the standard that I expect for myself as a member of the Dáil, and for that I am genuinely sorry.
The Finance Minister is being urged to meet with banks to discuss their obligations to assist mica-affected homeowners in Donegal availing of the redress scheme. Donegal deputies Padraig McLaughlin and Pierce Doherty have written to the Minister in a bid to improve cooperation between property owners and the banks. As part of the scheme, those affected by the defective block issue are required to contribute 10% of the overall cost of repairing their homes. Deputy McLaughlin, after having previously made representations to the Housing Minister, is now calling on the Finance Minister to take action.
If you look at the banks in Donegal, we know that there will be thousands of properties that have these defective concrete blocks, and it's a real crisis. These houses are losing huge value, so I find it astounding that the banks have not been more proactive in supporting families to make up that 10% contribution and to deal with the relocation costs while construction is taking place. They just have walked away from their responsibilities. It doesn't make sense. So we're reaching out now to the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Housing, and we're asking them to engage with the banks and encourage them to help, you know, their mortgage holders bring these houses back to full market value, but more importantly, to make these houses safe for these families.
And for the affected homeowners, a 10% contribution is working out at an astronomical cost, and many can't meet this.
Oh, indeed. I mean, it's really frustrating, I have to say, talking to so many families who would have had huge hope when they heard about this MICA redress scheme. And now when they're going through the logistics of it, of making up the 10%, which could be anything up to, you know, around €30,000, then they have to take care of their relocation costs. Then there's the issue of storing household goods. All of this, of course, which was provided for in the Pyrite resolution scheme. So we have second-class citizenship in terms of the state response here. But the state have been urged. I have put in, you know, multiple questions to the Minister for Housing. They've gone as far as they're willing to go. It really is over to the banks now to step up and make up the gap. Everybody wins if the banks step up here right now.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the latest Donegal gear online or click and collect at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Scottish football, and Celtic boss Neil Lennon says fans protesting outside of the stadium hurt rather than help the club. Supporters gathered at Parkhead last Sunday, demanding the Northern Irishman to be sacked following a run of poor form. Lennon insists, however, that he's still the right man to turn things around.
On the scenes on Sunday, you know, we're disappointed. You know, we're hurt. You know, I understand the sort of frustrations of, you know, the supporters, because ultimately, you know, we're not in in a great run at the minute. But it serves no purpose, you know, particularly for the players.
Chelsea and Manchester United in European action tonight. Chelsea and Sevilla will battle it out for a top seeding in the Champions League last 16 draw. Both clubs are on 10 points and are already qualified for the knockout stage ahead of their penultimate Group E match in Spain. They drew nil-all at Stamford Bridge in October. Blues boss Frank Lampard has other reasons for motivating his players for tonight's game.
We want to win the group for different reasons. Obviously, in your pathway through, it's not clear always that coming first is the beneficial position, but we generally want to do that. Also, in terms of motivation, when I'm talking about players that might play that haven't played so many minutes, their motivation is to try and show why they should be in the starting 11.
Manchester United entertained last season's runners-up Paris Saint-Germain at Old Trafford in Group H. The Red Devils won the reverse fixture 2-1, but only need to avoid a defeat this evening to qualify for the last 16. United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says his players will be gunning for victory.
The quicker you can qualify, the better, of course. With a win, we'll win the group. So, of course, that's our intent. We want to go out there in our style, attacking intent, defending well against a top team with some top individual players, of course. But our mindset is win this game and we won the group.
Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp hopes he hasn't picked up any more injury problems after last night's Champions League game. Both Andy Robertson and Jordan Henderson picked up knocks in the 1-0 win over Ajax, but Klopp expects to have both available for Sunday night's Premier League game with Wolves. There are six games in the English Championship this evening. Leaders Norwich City can go 4 points clear at the top with a win away to Luton Town. If they fail to win, victory for Reading at Sheffield Wednesday could see the Royals back at the summit. Republic of Ireland international Jack Byrne and his Shamrock Rovers teammate Roberto Lopez have been nominated for the PFAI Player of the Year Award. Bohemians winger Danny Grant is the other player named on the three-man shortlist. Grant has also been nominated for the Young Player of the Year gong, having been shortlisted alongside Bow's teammate Dawson Devoy and Rovers man Brandon Kavanagh. Kavanagh will compete with Drogheda United's Mark Coyle and Yuo Mande of UCD for the First Division Player of the Year. The winners will be announced next Wednesday. The GAA is hoping to confirm plans for next year's structure in the coming days. GAA management is set to meet at the end of the week to adapt a template for 2021. Counties have already been put on alert that the minor football and hurling and under 20 hurling championships could be played this month. Provincial competitions at those levels could take place as early as next week, with fixture bosses currently discussing the week ahead. Meanwhile, the Fixtures Review Task Force is also busy in consultation with counties as the committee looks to recommend structures from 2022 onwards. Well, Paddy Bradley has been appointed the new Derry under 20 football manager. The Glenullan man takes over from Mickey Donnelly, who stepped down from the role after 3 years in charge, which included a provincial title in 2018. Derry are also on the hunt for a new senior hurling manager. John McAvoy and his management team have stepped down from their positions ahead of the 2021 season. To rugby now, Conor Murray says the Ireland squad are out to prove a point after last week's performance against Georgia. They scored just 3 second-half points in a lacklustre 23-10 victory. Scotland visit the Aviva this weekend in their final Autumn Nations Cup match, and Murray says Ireland want to finish the international window by giving a better account of themselves.
Now, we were annoyed at the weekend that we didn't perform better and put more points on the board, even though Georgia fully deserved to be in the game, but you can just sense it as a playing group. We're frustrated with what we've shown last weekend, and we want to put it right this weekend. So that usually leads to a much better performance when the players take the ownership and understand that it was on them, and a lot of the fixes are down to the players. So there's that vibe in camp this week.
The famous Schumacher name will return to Formula One next season. Mick, son of seven-time world champion Michael, will drive for Haas in 2021. Meanwhile, world champion Lewis Hamilton will be replaced at Mercedes by fellow Briton George Russell for this coming weekend's Shakhtar Grand Prix in Bahrain. Hamilton tested positive for coronavirus on Monday and is now in isolation. And fans are set to be let into big events in the coming weeks cross-channel. 1,000 fans will be at the Wembley Arena to see Anthony Joshua's fight with Kubar Pulev in 10 days' time. The fight had originally been due to take place in June at Tottenham's new stadium, but it was postponed due to the pandemic. And a further 1,000 spectators will also be allowed into each session of the World Darts Championships later this month. The annual event will take place at Alexander Palace in North London. The draw for those championships will be held tomorrow. That's your sport for today, Michaela. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. And we're turning to some news. The Donegal Intercultural Platform has announced it will establish a welcomes committee to help coordinate support efforts and social opportunities for the asylum seekers who will move into accommodation on the Port Road in Letterkenny early next year. The platform has been in contact with the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth to offer what help it can and says it will become involved with any local initiatives, be they led by the council or another body. Co-chair Paul Kernan says the platform is in a unique position to offer help.
As a platform with member organisations from different black and minority ethnic communities already resident in Donegal, we feel that the intercultural platform would have a particular role to play in welcoming the new residents when they arrive. A number of the intercultural platform members have themselves come through the direct provision system. They've been able to share their experience.
A licensed premises in Strabane has been broken into and a quantity of alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks stolen. Trish Lafferty has more.
It's reported that entry was gained to the premises on Railway Street shortly after 2 a.m. this morning. Sergeant McDermott said one man gained entry while another man waited outside and both then made off on foot towards the Eden Terrace area. One man is described as being 5'10" in height and was wearing a baseball cap, a grey hooded jumper, a dark hooded coat, dark jeans and trainers with a white sole. The second man was reportedly wearing grey trainers, grey jogging bottoms, a dark top with reflective patches, with the hood up and wearing a mask. Police are appealing to anyone who witnessed anything suspicious to come forward.
Weather now cloudy with showers, which may be heavy at times with the risk of hail. Mainly cloudy tonight with scattered showers also and lowest temperatures of 0 to plus 2 degrees. A standard yellow snow ice warning will come into effect for Donegal from midnight tonight for 24 hours. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Taoiseach says preparations are proceeding at pace for the rollout of a COVID-19 vaccine here. It's after the UK became the first country to approve the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for widespread use. The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says initial results from the mass testing of staff are promising, but warns it is far too early to be complacent about the future. The hospital has had one of the highest COVID-19 admittance rates in the country in recent weeks. There are currently 38 patients with COVID-19 being cared for at the hospital. A Donegal businessman has told the Oireachtas Enterprise Committee that there is still a risk of checkpoints being established on the border as a result of the UK's Internal Markets Bill. Pharmacist Tom Murray, a member of Border Communities Against Brexit, told the committee this morning that there is still a disconnect at a local level on the issue of Brexit, with urgent clarity needed on a number of issues. And today on Missing Persons Day, the mother of Cian Langelong, who has been missing since the end of September, believes her son is still alive. The last confirmed sighting of Cian was in the Hornhead area, and Gardaí are continuing to appeal to people to keep an eye out for him. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, December the 2nd. The death has taken place of Josie Bonner, Derry O'Connell Doohery. His remains will be leaving McGlynn's funeral home tomorrow evening at 6:30, going to St Connell's Church Doohery for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Rosary at 8 o'clock with church open until 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in Letchermack Ward Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. The death has taken place of Patsy Walsh, Fairhill Dunlow. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St Cronus Church Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and friends. The death has taken place of Aki Alex Peoples, Town Parks Convoy. Aki's remains are reposing at his daughter Deirdre and son-in-law Jared McGarrigle's residence at Listillion Letterkenny. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 o'clock at funeral mass, interment afterwards in the Old Cemetery Convoy. Family flowers only, please, in compliance with current government and HSE guidelines. Wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to family only, please. And the death has taken place of Colin McLaughlin, Linsfort Buncrana. Remains reposing overnight at the Star of the Sea Church, Desert Tegney. funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to Desert Technique Parish Office.